Hello, welcome to our program on careers. I'm Irene Lubin, a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. I would like to begin today's program with an article which appeared in the Wall Street Journal, the weekend edition of May 3rd and 4th. The article's title is U.S. Added Jobs at a Steady Clip in April. This article was written for the journal by Cheo Dang and Justin Lehart. Hiring slowed a bit from March's pace, while unemployment rate held at 4.2%. The U.S. labor market steadily added jobs last month despite jolting tariff announcements that many economists expect will give way to a trade policy-induced slowdown later on this year. The Labor Department reported on Friday that the United States added 177,000 jobs in April, above the gain of 133,000 jobs that economists polled by the Wall Street Journal had expected to see. The unemployment rate, which is based on a separate survey from the jobs figures, though, held steady at 4.2%. The report revealed solid data that no one wants to trust, said Thomas Simons, chief U.S. economist at investment bank Jefferies. That is because the figures likely reflected staffing decisions made in February and March before President Trump's Liberation Day tariff announcements early on in the month that induced significant market volatility. Many business leaders are also likely betting that Trump will blink when it comes to some of his proposed policies. The president did announce sweeping tariffs on April 2nd and then paused many of them on April 9th. He implied later in the month that he would fire the Federal Reserve chairperson, then said he had no intention of doing so. Trump has also said that tariffs will make America richer and bring manufacturing back into the United States, took a victory lap on his Truth Social platform. Employment strong and much more good news as billions of dollars pour in from tariffs, he posted. Still, the fast-changing policies from Washington could soon begin to take the momentum out of the jobs market, economists say. There is plenty of anxiety about what tariffs will mean for the supply chains, says James Knightley, an economist at ING Financial Markets. The longer that this uncertainty lasts for, the more cautious businesses will become about hiring and investment. The time frame of the job survey only captures so much. The Labor Department asked that employers how many people they had on their payrolls during any pay period that includes the 12th of the month. That provides a limited look at companies' early thinking on how to adjust so sudden tariffs announcements. In earnings calls over the past few weeks, companies have complained of the high degree of instability created by tariffs, and some companies are now rethinking their entire business strategies. Many, including General Motors and JetBlue Airways, withdrew their earnings guidance for the year. Relatively few have talked about the need for layoffs yet. Many appear to be taking a wait-and-see approach when it comes to cutting workers. Still, nervous companies could choose to simply put hiring on hold. What is more, businesses and individuals alike are telling surveys that they are worried about the economy. Consumer sentiment in April hit one of its lowest levels on record, according to the University of Michigan. The pace of April's jobs gains was lower than the 185,000 jobs added in March. The gains for February and March were revised down by a combined 58,000 jobs. Hourly wages grew by less than expected compared with both a month ago and a year ago. Some of April's job gains may have been driven by the burst of activity that occurred as companies worked to get in front of tariffs, said Pantheon macroeconomics economist Samuel Toombs. Employment in the transportation and warehousing sectors rose by 29,000 jobs last month alone. Those gains could get unwound. Data from job search site Indeed show that a surge in job openings for loading and stocking workers earlier in the year reversed itself by April. Healthcare, financial activities, and social assistance all added jobs in April. Federal government employment declined by 9,000 jobs, the third month in a row of job losses there. And then, a day after this article appeared in the journal, this next one appeared. This is from the journal, the 2nd of May. Rise in jobless claims exceeds expectations. And this article was written for the journal by Matt Grossman. U.S. initial jobless claims rose last week, according to the Labor Department, reaching their highest level since February, but remaining broadly within a range that has held during the last year. In the week through April 26, 241,000 people newly filed for unemployment benefits, compared with 223,000 the week prior. Economists polled by the Wall Street Journal had been forecasting 225,000 initial claims. And during the past year, no week has brought more than 259,000 new claims, nor fewer than 205,000 after seasonal adjustments. The number of continuing claims, a gauge of the size of the unemployed population, rose to 1.92 million in the week through April 19th, compared with 1.83 million the week before, and the greatest number since November of 2021. The continuing claims numbers lag behind the numbers on new filings by a week. A mixed mosaic of economic data has shown an ambivalent view of how the United States economy has been holding up both before and after the steep new tariffs President Trump rolled out last month. In surveys, corporate bosses say that uncertainty has frozen their plans, and consumer polls also reflect intensifying unease. A Commerce Department report published Wednesday showed that the economy contracted in the first 3 months of the year, although its underlying health looked strong, setting aside trade-related effects. Any sign of a deteriorating labor market would quickly raise anxiety, but so far, jobless figures have not given economists acute reason to worry. The next article that I would like to read for you today is from the Wall Street Journal, the 8th of May. The title of this article is High School Juniors Attract Job Offers Topping $70,000. This article was written for the journal by Tae Ping Chen from Philadelphia. Elijah Rios won't graduate from high school until next year, but he already has a job offer, one that will pay him $68,000 a year. Rios is 17 years of age and a junior taking welding classes at Father Judge, a Catholic high school in Philadelphia that works closely with companies looking for workers in the skilled trades. Employers are dealing with a shortage of such workers as baby boomers retire. They have increasingly begun courting high school students like Rios, a strategy they said is likely to become more crucial in coming years. Employers ranging from the local transit system to submarine manufacturers make regular visits to Father Judge's welding classrooms every year, bringing branded swag and pitching students on their workplaces. When Rios graduates next year, he plans to work as a fabricator at a local equipment maker for nuclear, recycling, and other sectors, a job that will pay him $24 an hour, plus regular overtime and paid vacations. Sometimes it's a little overwhelming. Like this company wants you, their company wants you, said Rios, who grew up in the Philadelphia neighborhood of Kensington around drug addicts and homelessness, and said he was determined to build a better life for himself. It honestly feels like I'm an athlete getting all this attention from all these pro teams. Efforts to recruit high schoolers into professions such as plumbing, electrical work, and welding have helped spur a revitalization of shop classes in many districts. More businesses are teaming up these days with high schools to enable the students to work part-time, earning money as well as academic credit. And more employers are showing up at high school career days and turning to creative recruiting strategies. Employers say that as the skilled trades become more tech-infused, they anticipate doing even more recruitment at an early age because they will need workers who are comfortable programming and running computer diagnostics. I'm not looking to hire the guy I used to have 20 years ago, said Bob Walker, who is founder of Global Affinity, the Bristol, Pennsylvania manufacturer who offered Rios a job. The equipment he uses is highly advanced, including a $1.7 million steel laser cutter, and he said he needs tech-savvy workers to operate it. Angie Simon, until recently chief executive of a mechanical contractor out in California, in 2021 started the Heavy Metal Summer Experience, a nonprofit summer program that exposes high school students to careers in the trades, including welding, plumbing, and piping. She now is executive director of the program, which will enroll 900 students this summer in 51 different locations, mostly hosted by local contractors who often hire former campers after they graduate. You got to stop thinking somebody else is going to solve your problem, Simon said. Jenny Cantrill, 18, is working at Canistero, a plumbing and HVAC mechanical contractor that hosted her summer camp in Boston. She credits the camp for piquing her interest in plumbing, and she accepted Canistero's job offer without even looking elsewhere. I already had that connection with them, she said. A decade ago, administrators often snubbed employers in the skilled trades who tried to get a table at a high school career fair, said Erin Hilger, who is CEO of the Sheet Metal and Air Conditioning Contractors National Association. But with more high schools trying to give students alternatives to college, he said, that attitude has changed. Constellation Energy, a nuclear plant operator based in Baltimore, offers maintenance, technician, and equipment operator roles that are open to high school graduates without even four-year college degrees and pay as much as six figures. These are family-sustaining careers, said Ray Stringer, a vice president overseeing workforce development at the company. Last year, Constellation launched a work-based learning program outside of Chicago that invited young high school students to shadow workers at the company's nuclear facilities while earning community college credit. The company also sponsors Skills USA, a national organization that annually convenes a week-long conference where students learning the trades can show off their skills at a venue the size of 31 football fields. The organization, founded in 1965, has seen an influx of interest from employers and from students as well. The smartest employers get a foot into high schools early on by offering internships, said Roxanne Amiote, an automotive instructor at Bullard Havens Technical School in Bridgeport, Connecticut. I tell them, don't call me for students when they graduate. Grab them now when they're 16 or 17, or I will have nobody to work for you. Dan Schnaufer, service and body shop director at the nearby Dario Automotive Group, brings on several high school students each year to work part-time in his shop, including from Bullard Havens. They receive academic credit for their work, and he has the benefit of seeing them in action and being the first in line to hire them once they graduate. The idea of growing your own talent has gotten more critical in recent years when you have fewer and fewer people going into this industry, he said, adding at his shop, high school graduates can make around $50,000 a year and six figures within 5 years without college debt. For years now, the pendulum has swung in the direction of a college for all mindset, and it's important to make sure that students are made aware of all their options, says Steve Klein, a researcher who focuses on vocational education at the nonprofit Education Northwest. At Philadelphia's Father Judge School, all 24 graduating seniors in the welding program have job offers already, each paying $50,000 and above, welding instructor Joe Williams has said. Aiden Holland, a senior at the high school, was recruited earlier this spring to become a nuclear submarine welder at a defense contractor in New Jersey, starting out at $75,000 a year. The 18-year-old said he is grateful. It feels so good knowing we're very, very much in demand, he says. The next article that I would like to read for you also is from the May 8th issue of the Wall Street Journal, How Some Millennials Got Rich. This article was written for the journal by Joe Pinker and Paul Overberg. A vast economic resorting has narrowed the path to financial success. Millennials who become top earners are taking strikingly similar paths to get there. They often are working in a small number of lucrative fields in a small number of superstar cities after attending a small number of top-tier universities. This vast economic resorting has given a boost to the fields of tech and finance. Both are more likely to vault millennials into their generation's top 5% of household incomes, compared with baby boomers at similar ages back in 1990, according to a Wall Street Journal analysis of the latest Census Bureau data from 2023. Those ascendant industries have gained ground on doctors and lawyers. Millennials with those jobs are less likely to make it into their generation's highest earners than their baby boomer counterparts were 35 years ago, according to the journal's analysis. Many millennials today find their way to tech jobs drawn by the financial security they offer. A.J. DeBole, 37 years of age, went to law school after college at her parents' encouragement, but she could not find work after a year of searching. Had I known what job prospects would be like when I got out of law school, I never would have gone, she said. She later on got a position at a telecom company, and to supplement her income, she started trading. She developed an interest in cybersecurity and said she started reading books and watching videos on the subject during her two-hour commute. That helped her to land a technology job, paying well enough that her wife could stop working, and with her growing wealth, she could back away at her decade-old law school loans. The economy's resorting has come with a big payoff. The top 5% of millennial households today by income brought in more than $300,000 in 2023, according to the journal's analysis, which used census data archived by IPUMS at the University of Minnesota. Comparable boomer households in 1990 made more than $212,000 in 2023 dollars. Narrow pathways to success mean instability in just a few industries or cities could be a roadblock for many millennials. The generation currently 28 to 44 years of age came of age during the 2007 to 2009 recession, which hindered their early on career prospects. A few thriving industries helped some of them to catch up. Despite being labeled as financially stunted, millennials have higher average net worths today than boomers and Generation X did at similar ages, adjusting for inflation. Pay grew much faster in higher wage industries than in lower wage industries between 1996 and 2018, according to a 2024 study in the American Economic Review. Tech is among the lucrative 5% of fields today that accounted for more than half of that difference, along with science, engineering, and finance. The earnings have just skyrocketed in those industries, said John Haltewanger, who is an economist at the University of Maryland who co-wrote the study. Millennial software developers and financial analysts are roughly four times as likely to be in their generation's top earning 5% of households compared with millennials overall, the journal's analysis found. Historically, industries such as food preparation and building and grounds maintenance have not churned out lots of top earners, but they are now even less likely to, as higher wage industries have thrived, according to the journal's analysis. Lucrative jobs in the fields Haltewanger identified tend to be found at a smaller number of thriving companies, clustering at mega firms with more than 10,000 employees. Such positions at globe-spanning businesses can come with more potential upside than working with a single patient or legal client. You're going to a surgeon and your surgeon is making the same amount as the guy who's programming the interface at Snapchat, said Amupan Jena, an economist and physician at Harvard Medical School. The medical and legal profession's 100-year run as fairly dependable paths to financial success in the United States took off in the early 20th century. Today, millennial doctors and lawyers still have a good chance of making it into their generation's top echelon of income, but not as good a chance as their boomer counterparts had. Two-fifths of millennial doctors reach that level, compared with half of boomer doctors. Among lawyers, fewer than a third do, compared with 38% among the boomers. For lawyers, the drop-off likely has to do with the supply of law school graduates overshooting demand for their services, said Paul Campos, a professor at the University of Colorado Law School. Law school was sort of a default career path in many instances for people who really couldn't think of anything else that they necessarily wanted to do with their lives, Campos said. The following is from the question answer column Work Friend, written by Anna Holmes. This appeared in the New York Times on the 4th of May. The question is, help, my boss wants to be my roommate. I really need advice other than that which ChatGPT has already provided for me. My supervisor's husband recently got a job at a university a two-hour drive from ours. They are moving to be close to his job, and she has asked and received approval to be hybrid in her position. She informed me that she will come back to work a couple of days per week and plans to stay with me overnight so that she doesn't have to commute. I felt compelled to agree at the moment because she is my boss. But the more I think about this, the more uncomfortable I feel. She even demanded a key to my place. This feels like a gross abuse of power and invasion of privacy. She also thinks that we are best friends and says this frequently during the work week. I just smile in return. I do not think we are best friends. She is my boss and not someone I would like to host in my home during the work week. I need my time at home alone to decompress, and re-energize after the workday, which tends to be loud and chaotic, largely because she is constantly talking very loudly in our shared office space. She and her husband are moving this weekend, and she plans to start staying at my place as soon as next week, at least two nights a week. I am deeply uncomfortable with this and feel coerced into it, but I am worried about hurting her feelings or inviting professional repercussions if I say no, especially since she repeatedly emphasizes our friendship over our supervisor-employee relationship. I don't know quite how to tell her this in a way that won't feel like a rejection of the way she views our relationship. And the response is, oh my God, what? When your question arrived in my inbox, I immediately sent it to my editor, and we agreed that it had to make it into this week's Work Friend column. But where should I begin? There's so much wrong here. There is the informing you that this is something that's going to happen and the demanding of a key. The expectation that you go along with all of this. The assumption that the two of you are now best friends. It feels like a gross abuse of power. It is a gross abuse of power, but it doesn't have to be an invasion of your privacy. You can say absolutely not, or at the very least, no. I don't know quite how to tell her this in a way that won't feel like a rejection of the way she views our relationship, you say. This is your opening. You say that because your friendship with her means a lot to you. Nothing wrong with a little white lie. You do not want to jeopardize this relationship. You need to keep work and home life separate, you can say. You need space and privacy, and she will need to make other arrangements. And if she protests, stick to your guns and continue to say no. If she tries to bargain, say no. If she gets pouty or angry, say no. And you do all of this as kindly and as firmly as possible, and many times as needed. It's the broken record tactic, and it's effective. At a certain point, the other person has to give up. I understand that you don't want to hurt your boss's feelings, and I understand your fear of incurring professional repercussions, but you cannot allow this to continue to happen. In addition to your boss being unprofessional, she's also kind of stupid, which might add fuel to the fire. I mean, this conversation is going to be hard enough as it is. This is all the time that we have for on our program on careers today. I hope that you've enjoyed listening in and will enjoy the rest of your day. And thank you for listening in. I'm Irene Lubin, a volunteer reader, and you're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona.